Running Computer Show. Soundbites. Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000 watt 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 29th of April, Anno Domini 2007, and you lucky people. You're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And it's 7 minutes after the hour. We'll be bringing you news, views, stuff you can use, all the good things that we do every week. We will start with information on Linux. Canonical, the commercial sponsor of Ubuntu, has just released the latest version of their popular Linux distribution, Ubuntu version 7.04. Despite concerns that this release might be delayed by last-minute fine-tuning of the ATI graphics card drivers and the Network Manager panel applet, Ubuntu 7.04 made its release date. In the coming months, many individuals and businesses will be making the decision to upgrade their existing computers and their operating system, says Jane Silber, who's Canonical's Director of Operations. With added features to both desktop and server editions, Ubuntu 7.04 is the most user-friendly version to date, and is ideally suited to anyone who wants to make the switch to Linux and join the community of Ubuntu users. In fact, with this version of Ubuntu, it is easier than ever to move away from proprietary platforms. And what's interesting about this is that Michael Dell, the Michael Dell of Dell Computers, announced on April 18th he's using the new Ubuntu on his personal laptop. Mark Shuttleworth, who's Canonical CEO, said, "You shouldn't read too much into this. I'm thrilled that you're using it, but I didn't know he was going to announce it, and I can't comment on the talks we are or not having with Dell about preloading Ubuntu onto Dell laptops."
Well, they
I cannot comment on any talks we are or are not having.
They already have allowed you to install XP now. You can buy machines without Vista,
right,
especially at the low end. You don't want Vista at an entry-level computer, and it's neat now that you'll be able to choose Linux. And Dell has said he'd be more than welcome or more than happy to put Mac OS X on a PC if Apple would let him.
Right.
Well,
right.
What we got to do, though, is explain to folks that are maybe new to listening to the show actually what Ubuntu is.
Ubuntu is a version of Linux. Linux is an operating system like Windows is an operating system, like Mac OS X is an operating system. It's just different from those. And there are a lot of things it does extremely well.
Oh, and how much does it cost, Nick?
Oh, it is exactly, let me think, free. It is free. I was doing a demonstration last month at the Rochester Computer Society. Somebody said, "Are there any packages for it?" So I opened up the package manager. 20,000 programs. 20,000 programs, all of which are free and all of which update to the latest release with the touch of a button. And it is a terrific operating system. It is different from Windows. You have to learn all new things. You can't run Windows programs. So if you're a Photoshop person, you can't. You can. There's a thing called Wine that lets you do that, but you need a fairly powerful system.
Oh, you run GIMP, which is pretty close.
The GIMP is actually better. The only thing the GIMP doesn't do is separation, color separation.
I used to have a friend called, his nickname was the GIMP.
Yeah, this is GIMP, the GNU Image Management Manipulation Program. The GNU, GNU, the new Image Manipulation Program. At any rate, it's an operating system that's completely free. And a lot of people are saying if you're going to have it, since Vista is completely different from anything you've ever seen before under Windows, since you're going to have to learn a new operating system, why not try a free one?
Well, I had a friend of mine, she had to do up a resume, and evidently she was using Microsoft Works and something got corrupted. Of course, she calls me at 9:30 at night.
Sure.
And is in desperation. She says, "Steve, I got to get this done. You know, what can I do?" And I says, "Wait a minute. Do you have Word or any other?" She goes, no, never got around to that. And I was thinking of going out and buying it. I said, no. And I had to go to openoffice.org.
Yep.
Download OpenOffice. And she walked her through on downloading that. And she goes, "Well, how much do I have to pay for it?" I go, "It's free." And I told her, you know, she can do spreadsheets and everything else. Well, the following Thursday, because we meet for coffee and meals at it's one restaurant every week, she comes in, and this woman makes the best peanut butter frosting on a chocolate cake.
Ooh.
Oh, and she makes it from scratch. She goes,
Dave. She grows the peanuts. Yeah.
She goes, I owe you 100 cakes because I was asking her to make me one. She goes, I owe you 100 of them.
Nice.
She goes, that was so great. This product, she goes, and it's even got a spreadsheet. And I was playing around the drawing program. Yeah. And they all work fantastic. She was able to send it off, even though she created an open office, send it off to her this other boss. They opened it up in Word, didn't know the difference. She goes,
right. I use open office myself. Nobody knows. I do spreadsheets. I do word processing documents. I do presentations that other people open up with PowerPoint. It even has a database management system. Very much like Access, and it's completely free.
Yeah.
It's an excellent program. In fact, what I have found out is that I can often open documents that other people couldn't.
Yes.
Because when Windows gets to a corrupted document, it says, can't open it, it's corrupted, throws up its hands and quits.
Mm-hmm.
OpenOffice says, you know, this is corrupted. Would you like to see what I did find?
Yep.
So at least you get something back.
Something.
And sometimes it says, you know what, let me skip this part, see what's past it.
Well, that's always been a trick for opening corrupted files, is try a different program.
Exactly.
Sometimes it works, or it'll show you what it got until the corruption, and that's better than nothing.
Yeah. Right.
Half a loaf is better than none.
Yep.
Right. So, Rob, have I got time for a phone call? No? I don't? Maybe I'll take a call anyway. What are you going to do about it?
He cannot push the button.
Well, we do have some folks on the line. We'll be getting to you after the break, which I hear is coming up this second, as a matter of fact. So we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray. Rob, I got the power, Linton. Me, Nick Francesco, your phone calls, everything else. It is 14 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Call Wham now.
But before the Yankees... Must It'll be us. Welcome back to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
At 18 minutes after the hour, we've got news, views, stuff you can use. One more news item, and then I promise we'll get to the calls. Microsoft in Beijing, Bill Gates announced last week that Microsoft's Unlimited Potential Initiative will now include offering a software package, the Student Innovation Suite, to governments and students in emerging countries around the world at a price of just $3. Yes, you heard me. $3. What does this suite include? Windows XP Starter Edition, Microsoft Office Home and Student 2007, Microsoft Math 3.0, Learning Essentials 2.0 for Microsoft Office, and Windows Live Mail Desktop. $3. However, Microsoft has no takers yet.
It's easier to steal it.
Officially, the goal is to help bring social and economic opportunity through new products and programs to as many as possible of the potential 5 billion people, that's billion with a B, who do not yet use Microsoft products. This is, of course, just so much bushwa. The goal is, in fact, to kill open source off at its roots. Microsoft wants to make sure that young people in developing countries get brainwashed into the Microsoft way of computing. Here's what really happens. Microsoft is seeing the OLPC, the One Laptop Per Child initiative, is taking off. Soon, millions of kids will be using a computer for the first time, and their first computer is going to be running Sugar, an innovative software environment built on top of a Red Hat Fedora-based Linux variant. Microsoft also sees how Linux distributions are quickly moving ahead of Windows in Africa, where Ubuntu is gaining popularity, South America, where Mandriva is making inroads, and China, which has its own powerful ecosystem of Linux companies such as Red Flag and Sunwa Linux. Now, as Ubuntu founding father Mark Shuttleworth recently said, we're seeing Ubuntu being picked up in Asia, Russia, Ukraine, and South America. So those places have become a real focus for us. And in particular, desktop Linux is very attractive in emerging companies. Why? Simple. Linux is inexpensive and it works. Unlike North America and to some extent Western Europe, the rest of the world is not addicted to Microsoft's offerings. They can see with far clearer eyes than most Americans that Windows is not the be-all and end-all of operating systems. In fact, if you go to a lot of non-American websites, you often find that they don't have Windows Media Player files, and they, you know, you can find OGG files and MP3, mm-hmm. MP4 files and stuff like that. So, and another factor, of course, is that in many countries there's a real desire not to get tied up with Microsoft. After all, why help Bill Gates in the United States become even richer when you can help software developers in your own country create your own local version of Silicon Valley based on Linux and open source? You can see that in France, where the National Assembly recently moved to Linux desktops, and in South Korea, which wants to help its native software business. And of course, Michael Dell is using it. And HP, actually, Dell has told the world he's using Ubuntu on his desktop. And he also announced that they'll soon be selling PCs and laptops with preloaded Linux. And the number one PC company in the world, HP, there's a rumor that it's readying customer preloads of Linux on the desktop as well.
So, and what's interesting is that big companies have been using Unix servers forever. The internet runs on Unix servers, so it's neat that it's seeing, you know, these inroads into the desktop as well.
Yeah, it is nice. All right, now we're to the phones, and our first caller is Dave from Spencerport, New York. Welcome, Dave. What's your question?
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. Sure. I have a daughter who's heading off to college in the fall, and I think we've pretty much settled on a Mac notebook. One of the options you can get preloaded is, and I apologize, I can't remember the name of the program, but that would allow you to run Windows operating system as well. She thinks, or at least she's planning on being a communications major. She may be doing some multimedia things, but to what extent, especially in a college environment, would that sort of an add-on be useful or more in the way?
Well, there's actually four different ways to run Windows on a Mac. One of them is Apple's free boot camp program. That's might be what they were talking about. And it allows you to purchase a Windows license and install Windows. Basically, you only need to do that to run a Windows program. For 90% of the common programs, there are Mac equivalents. Sometimes a direct equivalent, like Microsoft Office, has a Mac version. Or sometimes there are near enough equivalents, say a FileMaker instead of Access, you know, an application database generator. So it's the small niche programs that don't have Mac equivalents that that you can run in the Windows environment on the Mac. And then the other big thing is games. A lot of people are doing this to run the games on the Mac.
The one thing, though, not to go side either way, PC or Mac, what I usually always tell folks is to check with the school.
Right. A lot of schools have requirement lists about what they want.
I mean, she might want a Mac, but if the school and what she's going into is said, no, you got to go PC-based, you know.
Well, most
and
schools
if the
these
school
days
doesn't
have both.
Care, right, if the school doesn't care,
right.
She really needs to check with her support group. If she's going to bring it to the folks, say, in the bookstore or wherever they do Mac or PC repairs, she should ask them what it is they fix.
Right. And that's actually, we're seeing some interesting inroads for the Mac because now it can run Windows natively.
Right.
You can sneak it into a building as a Windows computer
with
an Apple logo on the outside.
But a Mac notebook is a terrific product. And whichever way you decide, if you've got enough memory, there's Parallels and there's Boot Camp.
Right.
You need a lot of memory.
VMware
fast
and
machine.
Crossover right. are the other two.
Yeah, because when it comes to the media side, I mean, Mac still kicks butt.
Yeah. And all the media programs it comes with for music creation and photo editing and video creation, that really makes it a nice sell.
I mean, they still kick butt.
I really like that, and I also like the idea of maybe getting fewer calls. She's not going far from home, but fewer calls.
Yep.
Hey, Dad, there's some intrusive thing going on here.
Yeah.
On
that's something you do have to worry about if you put Windows on it. It's a Windows computer. You have to run all the Windows anti-security, anti-virus, anti-spyware, anti-everything programs because it is Windows.
Even as a Mac user, you should run as much of that stuff as you can just to be a good network citizen.
Yeah.
If somebody sends you a virus and you're going to pass it on to somebody else, sure, it's not going to hurt you. But if you kill it, they don't get it.
Right.
I see. Well, what about things like PowerPoint? Can that be translated over from Windows to...
Well, again...
Using Microsoft PowerPoint on the Mac.
Right.
Or OpenOffice or NeoOffice or any of the other Office equivalents. Or
right.
Apple has their own presentation program called Keynote, which
right.
also reads PowerPoint files.
Very good. Thank you so much.
Sure.
You've answered a lot of the questions I had.
Yeah. One of the things we've seen with a lot of the college kids, in fact, we had a kid in this week, he wants the high-end MacBook Pro.
Right.
And most of the time we're recommending, no, get the cheaper model, the MacBook. You know, the $1,300 models is with the DVD burner. That's usually what the kids want.
Right.
Get the cheaper model. By the time he's out of college, he'll be ready for the big fancy model that they'll have then.
Right.
You buy the big fancy model now, and when they're out of college, they'll want the next big fancy model.
right. Well, but if in fact she's going to do multimedia stuff, then maybe the extra
MacBook
oomph for the
Pro with the better
right.
video.
That's
right.
where, again,
yeah.
going to the school and saying, all right, what are the requirements?
Now, that was interesting when I went to a couple of the Mac RIT meetings, and everyone pulls out their PowerBooks, the high-end computers.
Right.
Most schools are the iBook, the consumer models.
Right, not RIT.
But you got to check and see what the requirements are going to be, so then you can get a system around those needs. Because like you say, no sense of buying a Cadillac when you only need a mid-sized car.
Right. And again, it's your support group that's the most important.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to, for example, the bookstore, and they say, well, we only fix Macs, then you really want to think about getting a Mac, because those are the people you're going to bring the machine to when there's a problem. Also, she should talk to her, if she knows any of the kids she'll be going to school with, what do they use? What do they like? How do they, because she's going to be turning to them for help. And in particular, yes, you're right, whatever your particular department requires. Now, for example, I'm in the E. Philip Saunders College of Business at the Rochester Institute of Technology, and we have most of our people use Windows machines because they're doing, a lot of statistical stuff that comes out in Windows.
We used to say, why waste a Mac doing, spreadsheets and graphs? But then you go over to the...
Because then you could sell a couple of $100 billion of them into business.
But then you go over to the College of Imaging Arts and Sciences, and that's probably 90% Mac.
Right.
Photography and printing and imaging and everything there.
Right.
Well,
the
one thing I had, though, was a client came in and the kid wanted, laid out all these specs. And, the father, he doesn't know. He wants to get a laptop for his kid to take to school.
It's right. a gaming computer?
Oh, yeah. His kid had it built up. And I says, so what are you going to do with it? And because he had to admit in front of his dad, he goes, well, just basically Word. We've got to do some access and email.
Halo 3.
And a lot of Halo
and
3,
then, yeah. He had it loaded with 2 gig, yada, yada. Well, you don't need this. And then we finally got him. He wanted to buy it for gaming when he's on his at campus with his friends.
Recreation.
And the dad goes, wait a minute, I'm paying for your education, and I'm not paying for your fun time, too.
Right. All right, speaking of fun time, we're going to have a lot more of it because you've got Glenn Lambert's coming in with the news and the weather and the sports, and what could possibly be more fun than that? I have a list, actually, and if you need it alphabetical, I got that, too. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, all of you. We got more people on the line. We will get to them. It is 28 minutes after the hour. You are listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Hey, sports.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
Dave tells me to look at something on the screen and pulls me away from the mic.
Yeah, well, I'm still trying to figure out those words that Glenn used.
Salient? We are always salient.
Yeah, well, that was not the mystery word. Sentient.
Our information is not sentient, but we certainly are.
Well, your computer, I hope, is not sentient.
Not yet, at least.
Not yet, but it may be in a couple of decades. Right.
Don't anthropomorphize computers.
Oh!
They hate that.
Anyway. Yeah.
Good one. Yes.
In case anybody didn't get the meaning of that word, I shouldn't presume. Everybody probably knows the meaning of the word sentient. That means the ability to recognize that you have the ability to recognize.
Exactly. And more importantly, all of the people who listen to us are probably all sci-fi geeks, so they all know what
they're saying. We know that. Data's a sentient being.
That's
right.
Exactly right.
Cogno ergo sum.
Cogito ergo sum.
Cogito ergo sum.
Look, you can't use that language. The FCC.
I think, therefore am.
What the hell did you just find in there? I'm sorry. Dave?
No, it's
Dave
Descartes.
Is creating spam from the Soundbites forums.
Rene Descartes.
These folks with no lives, I constantly...
E pluribus unum. I don't know.
Descartes said, I don't think, and disappeared.
I'm out of here.
There's a highly critical vulnerability that's been reported in Apple QuickTime that opens up millions of people who use iPods... to attack. The vulnerability, which is caused by an error in the way Apple QuickTime handles Java, can be exploited if a user visits a malicious website running a Java-enabled browser. Research said that includes Microsoft's Internet Explorer along with Mozilla's Firefox and Apple's Safari browser. The bug also affects Windows Vista through Internet Explorer 7. The bug enables a hacker to execute code remotely. Security software firm Secunia and Tipping Point called the bug highly critical. There have been no reports yet of the bug being exploited. It's a very it's a very critical bug because of the cross-platform, multi-browser nature of it. I would say the attack surface is infinite. You can get the same privileges as the user who logged on. This is obviously potential for widespread attacks, said manager of security with the security company Tipping Point. This may be the very first time that a Windows, that an Apple bug has affected Microsoft computers. So it is a serious problem, and one hopes that it gets fixed possibly immediately.
The annoying thing about that news story is it has nothing to do with the iPod.
What I didn't get. I read that and I thought, I don't know what. Who cares?
They put iPod.
Except that Apple just sold their 100 millionth iPod, and they wanted to put that in the story.
No, they put iPod in the headline so more people would look at it.
Yeah.
Because the iPod is everything now.
Ooh, right. Yeah. But the way it works is there's a flaw in QuickTime, which Apple has not yet fixed, and until they do, we are all vulnerable.
Well, it's in how QuickTime handles Java, so you can either turn off QuickTime or turn off Java.
Right.
You know one thing?
But I don't think we should gloss over the fact that a Windows bug now an Apple bug now threatens Windows. You know how hard it is to say Apple bug and how easy it is to say Windows bug? That's why I'm having this problem. An Apple bug now actually threatens a Windows machine.
One thing, though, I noticed reading all the news that you did up for us this week.
Yeah.
It's the one thing that you didn't bring up. How Steve Jobs is being looked into right now.
Well, now that the whole SEC thing is interesting.
No, this is for the... taxes are
the stock option backdating.
Yeah, the stock option.
A lot of companies do stock.
We reported that.
We've talked about
Half ago.
Yeah, but there's there was a new development.
Yeah, there's a new development. A lot of companies getting like $20 million.
Well, a lot of companies do stock option backdating. The problem is Apple didn't tell anyone soon enough. It's not illegal to do backdating, but they have to tell people they're doing it, and specifically tell the SEC. So now
they claim, though, they did this sort of...
An internal investigation showed that Apple didn't do anything wrong, or that Jobs personally didn't do anything wrong.
Oh, no, he didn't, but the crew that works for him...
And so the CFO, Fred Anderson, I think it was, resigned, made a deal with the SEC that he's going to pay back $3 million in ill-gotten gains, they call it. And then they're indicting and prosecuting Apple's former attorney. What was her name? Helen Rosin, something like that. So it's weird that it's just like you see on TV. One guy cut a deal and the other guy's going to jail.
Yeah, right.
But the CFO who cut the deal with the SEC, former CFO, is saying that Jobs knew all about it and ignored his warnings that they shouldn't do this.
Yep. And they supposedly it was some fictitious, because they were first
trying to
say...
Well, there's a board meeting. Yeah,
there was a board meeting.
Say we had a board meeting and approved this, but we didn't really have that board meeting that day.
And they found notes, which is spurring a lot of this.
Yeah.
So a lot of companies are now getting very cautious about how they issue stock options and backdating stock options.
Well, they should.
Yeah.
Taxes is how they got Capone.
Yeah. Yep.
Our next caller is Anthony from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Anthony. What's your question?
Yeah, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I was trying to load in Windows XP because I purchased a Dell, which I thought it had Windows XP in it, but it was only 90 days on it. And I'm trying to load it in, and once I loaded it in, it was installing, and then it went to a point where it just said you need a CD to disk, and then it hung the system up. And now the only thing I do is just go to the trying to open it.
Well, the reason you only get 90 days is because is this copy on another machine?
No, it was I'm not following what you said now.
The 90-day thing on the XP from Dell is you have to register it within 90 days.
And if you're putting this copy of Windows XP on a second machine, it's not going to work.
So it's the... Okay.
Yeah, you can't put the same copy of Windows on two machines.
It can only go on one machine, and when you try to do that, it's got to validate it. If it doesn't get validated in 90 days, it shuts off.
You have to activate it in 30 days. With Microsoft, you may have to register it with Dell separately, but you have to activate Windows through Microsoft within 30 days in order for it to work.
So at this point, what you need to do is call Dell back and tell them you've had a problem with the machine.
Well, no, not if he's trying to put a second one copy on two machines.
Well, but he's wiped away the copy that was on that machine.
Yeah, it sounds like he's trying to re-put it back on the same machine. which is okay, but may not activate because it thinks it's already activated.
Right, so you need to call Dell and tell them what happened. You need to call, they may tell you to call Microsoft. And you can get it solved, but you got to do it through them. We got to take a break. Back in just a couple minutes, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you at 40 minutes after the hour at Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And in 45 minutes after the hour, it's soundbite.
Do you know what this is?
I have no idea.
Yeah, of course you wouldn't. You're too old.
What is it?
Don't worry about it.
What is it?
It's called Summertime.
By who?
I don't know.
It's certainly not the one from Porgy and Bess.
No.
There's no Gershwin there.
Summertime.
All right, Google has removed paid links that advertise seemingly legitimate websites, but actually tried to install nefarious programs on PCs. As you know, a lot of sites nowadays have Google links on them, and the links were displayed as sponsored links after visitors entered specific queries into Google's search service. Clicking the links would ultimately go to a legitimate site, but by way of another site that attempted a drive-by installation of password-stealing software. Miscreants placed the links on using Google's AdWords service for advertisers. Google identified and canceled the AdWords accounts, displaying ads that redirected users to malicious sites. The malicious links appeared after people searched for terms. Now, these only happened on Google's website. The malicious links appeared after people searched for terms related to the Better Business Bureau, according to Exploit Prevention Labs, a security company. All the paid-for links masqueraded as legitimate sites and redirected Google users to the actual sites after sending them to smarttrack.org, which served up the malicious code. We detected about 20 different search strings that resulted in links to smarttrack.org, said Roger Thompson of Exploit Prevention Labs. There were multiple ads linking to a single site, a high level of planning, and cunning by the bad guys. The bad guys are getting worse, and they're even using Google to help them. So we all need to continue to be careful out there. Our next caller is Pete from Victor, New York. Welcome, Pete. What's your question?
Yes, I'm having a problem loading XP onto my laptop. It's come up regularly just fine, but just the other day it just hangs on the startup screen. I'm just wondering what I can do to try and rectify that.
Have you been able to get into safe mode?
No, it does the same thing in safe mode. It'll say that I'm in safe mode, and then it'll say Windows is starting up, and it just dies right there or hangs.
Well,
right there.
How long have you let it run?
About 4 or 5 minutes.
Try longer. Maybe it's waiting for something.
Okay.
Yeah, because going in safe mode, it could take quite a bit of time to get it into it. But if you can't get it at all to go in either safe mode or regular mode, what you might have to do is install Windows over Windows.
Okay. Does that mean I end up wiping the...
No. What'll happen is...
If you do it right.
Yeah, if you put the CD in, and the first screen, it'll ask you to either install or repair it. You say install. It'll then ask you to hit the F8 key for the agreement.
Okay.
Then you'll get to another screen, and again, it'll say install or repair. That second time that you see the repair down at the bottom, that's when you select it. And what it does is it just reinstalls Windows over Windows, and it doesn't wipe out any of your programs, any of your data, or any of that stuff.
Okay. And I can do this with the, I guess, the network the support utility disk that the computer or laptop vendor sent with the machine?
No, you have to have a Windows install disk.
Yeah, it should have come with an install disk.
Well, it may not. It may come with a restore disk.
Yeah. Okay, that's what I have.
A lot of the restore disks will erase the computer and restore everything from
scratch. Yeah, check and see. Some of them, though,
Will also let you refresh Windows, call it.
Yeah, some of them will let you rebuild it. Okay. So it all depends on the manufacturer and how they set it up.
Okay, so you say first try waiting a little bit longer on test mode. An hour is too much?
Oh, yeah. Okay. If it doesn't do it in 20 minutes.
Okay, then it's time to...
Yeah, it's time to do that and try it. If you get nervous,
You can always bring it to a shop like Dave's or Steve's.
We do it on a regular basis.
Okay, well, that sounds good.
They'll charge you, of course, but they do a great job.
Yeah, well, that's what we want, is a great job.
There you go. Thanks, Pete. Our next caller is Deb from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Deb. What's your question?
Hey, guys. I have a question about spam emails on FrontierNet.
Yes.
I used to get dozens a day. Now I'm down to just a handful, which I dutifully add to my block list and then delete. But what concerns me at this point is that every single one I do get that says is marked as spam has my first name in the subject line. And so I don't know how that happened, if there's anything I can do to change that. It's just kind of disturbing, if you know what I mean.
A lot of the spammers are doing that now. Mm-hmm. When you send out messages, it has your name in it. So they can read your name, your email address, and oftentimes information about your email program, and put that in the spam they send back.
Yeah, it's like almost 100%
right.
of them have.
Yeah.
Since I don't use FrontierNet as my main email, there's not a lot I've done with it. Is there any way I can backtrack to kind of, I mean, do I change my email address? Any suggestions?
Well, if you change your email address, the spam will
follow you,
and it will slowly catch up again.
Yeah.
The only thing you can do is don't put your name or your return address in your emails.
And are you using Outlook Express?
Which means no one can ever send you mail.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, but are you using Outlook Express?
No.
You're using Thunderbird?
I have to activate Thunderbird on Frontier. When you had to change their little protocols, I didn't update that.
But you should go to Thunderbird because I think that's a better program. We have to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you at 50 minutes after the hour at Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
At 55 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites. My. All right, kiddies, it's time. It's time to grab your teddy bears, put on your footy jammies, grab your hot cocoa, practice your safe words, and sit in a circle around the floor. Because if we can wake him up, it's time for Story Hour with Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave? Uncle Dave! Yeah, Uncle Dave, it's Story Hour!
Oh. I was busy. Oh. Well, I got something, and because I've been hearing a bit, I don't know whether Steve's run into it, and it's a lot of BS. And I don't mean bright sunshine either.
Ah.
What I'm talking about, folks, is some folks have been told and being literally conned into the fact that they go in to buy a computer, like we're hearing this other person, you know, going to check out a computer right now. That, oh, sorry, Vista's the only thing they can have. Well, as we reported last week, a lot of the manufacturers are now going back and offering Windows XP Home or Pro.
It may be the only thing that specific store is selling, but yeah. There are other stores.
Right. They've got the inventory in, and that's the only thing that they've currently got in stock.
See, and there's nothing really, well, I can say there is many things inherently wrong with Vista, but yeah. There's nothing really inherently wrong with Vista. It just needs a much bigger computer to run on.
And
so you buy the $599 computers and Vista won't
run
very well.
Well, but that's the point, isn't it? If you're going to buy a Vista machine, they're going to say, you know, those Soundbites guys say you need 2 gig, and the Soundbites guys say you need a 2 gigahertz processor.
And this is where I'm saying, folks, don't be bullied and being told, well, sorry, that's all we, you know, you can get now. Don't let them BS you into the thinking that, yes, you've got to get this, because like Nick has told you a long time ago, you know, tchotchkes or kickback.
Spiffs.
I knew there was a word for it.
Not spliffs. Spiffs.
Spiffs. I'm pushing this product out because they got a special on it. So they're, you know, pushing it out the door. And if they can sucker you into buying it, now all of a sudden you get this computer. I had a client just this week. The owner went out and bought a brand new computer. We got it back, and I go, well, wait a minute. You want me to set this up this Friday, right? She goes, yeah. I said, did you check to see if your manufacturing software is going to run on Vista?
A lot of them still don't even run on XP.
No,
you got to have 98.
We didn't
I've got a customer using DOS because that's the only thing his vinyl cutter runs on.
We didn't check that out. So she quick called the manufacturer, and their answer was, well, we're working on a patch. We might have it in 1 to 2 months.
Yeah.
And her experience is maybe 8 to 10 months.
Right.
I had to literally take this great deal, bring it back to the shop, wipe it out, sell them a copy of Windows XP Pro, put it on there because it will work on Windows XP Pro. No, it won't work on Vista. And they were very clear with it. And since it's going to be a manufacturing, but again, this person was told, well, that's all they sell right now is Vista. You can't get XP Pro. Baloney. You can get it. You just got to demand it.
All right. Steve, you hold him down. I'll inject him. We're done with Story Hour for another week. Dave's going to go back into the rocking chair. Titties, put away your footy jammies. Rinse out your mugs. Put away your teddy bears. And we're going to take a break. It's time for news and weather and sports and all the good things that you listen to Wham for. And when we come back on the other side, we've got the weekly poll. We've got folks waiting patiently on the line. We've got more rants and raves from Dave and Steve and maybe even me. And of course, a whole lot more very good stuff from Rob Linton, because we have to pretend to be nice to him because he's the guy with the buttons. So for Dave Enright, for Steve Ray, for Rob Linton, I'm Nick Francesco. We'll all be back. The cameras aren't on yet, Rob. You don't have to hide. They'll be on soon. It is 59 minutes after the hour. You're listening to Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
Thousand-watt News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000-watt 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 7 minutes after the hour, the burning question is, how come Lamberts gets to go home? And we have to stay for a whole other hour. You know why? Because we love each and every one of you.
Well, it's very simple why I get to go home. Because my wife said, you're taking me shopping. So here I go.
There you go. Bye-bye.
I have to get out of here.
Bye-bye.
You all have fun, yeah?
Yeah, you pray for me, yep. Would you please?
Yeah, okay, well, no problem.
He's been married long enough to understand the importance of, yes, dear.
That's right. That's right. My wife invented a cheer for me. Yes, dear, you're right. Yes, dear, you're right. Yes, dear, you're right. It's my fault. All right, we're back. And every week on the Soundbites website, we do a poll. Last week's poll was about Google Apps. 260 of you voted, making it number 227 on the all-time hit list. Thank you very much. And the choices were, do you use Google Apps? 39% of you said never. 24% of you said Google's got apps. 14% I tried them, I like them. 14% said I tried them and no big deal. And 8% of you use them all the time. This week's poll is about an interesting little item in the news. Apple Incorporated's chief executive, Steve Jobs, indicated on Wednesday that he is unlikely to give in to calls from the music industry to add a subscription-based model to Apple's wildly popular iTunes online music store. Never say never, but customers don't seem to be interested in it, Jobs said. The subscription model has failed so far. His comments come as the company he co-founded gears up for contract renewal negotiations with the major record labels over the next month. Since Apple launched iTunes in 2003, it has sold in more than 2.5 billion songs and now offers increasing numbers of television shows and movies. Many in the music industry hope iTunes will ultimately start, in effect, renting music online so record companies can make more money from recurring income. But Jobs said he has seen little consumer demand for that. People want to own their music, he said. So that leads us to our question of the week. The poll this week is, I'd rather rent music from iTunes than buy it. And the choices are the very thing I was hoping for. What, are you on crack? iTunes discriminates against Linux. I'd rather rip CDs I buy, and I'd rather steal music over the internet. So far, we've had 71 of you vote, and overwhelmingly 51% of you said, what, are you on crack? People do not want to rent music. They want to buy it. Now, the interesting part of this is when you're done making your choice, which I believe I've got some interesting choices this week, but when you're done making your choice, you can look at the little yellow box underneath the poll. Click on Give Us Your Opinion. It will take you to my website, AskNick.com. AskNick.com. That's AskNick.com. And you will then be able to actually enter an opinion, because I know you long-winded people can't just do with clicking a button. You can enter fewer than 256 characters, and you will be able to say anything you want. That's at my website, AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
Gotcha.
Oh, you make me very, very angry. And while you're there, check it out. I have forums. I have a newsletter I publish. I do all kinds of stuff. You can, if you're a member, you can search the old Q&As and stuff and find answers for things. And it's only $15 a year. I can't imagine why you wouldn't do it. That's at AskNick.com.
AskNick.com.
Caught you, didn't I? See? See?
Well, you can't do it two, three times during a thing. I gotta find sound effects.
I know. I'm sorry. It's my fault entirely.
I mean, I'm busy over here.
And then come on back to the Soundbites website and check out our forums and all the other good things.
Wait a minute.
I'm talking on Instant Messenger.
Let's clarify.
Once in a while, I do a show thing.
Okay.
I'm looking out the window, seeing, you know, people fighting with each other. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing to be downtown. All right, we're going to go back to the phones.
There were a couple things I wanted to mention about that. That a lot of people take the subscription argument in the vein that if I could sample more songs, I might want to buy more songs. And so Apple gives you a 30-second preview on the iTunes store, but a lot of people want more than 30 seconds. But the big thing that I've always been annoyed by is if you stop paying the subscription fee, all the music you've downloaded quits working.
Right.
And they're seeing that now in the Zune. One of the Zune's neatest features is being able to share music with other Zune players.
Right.
There's two problems with that. There aren't any other Zune players. and the music quits working after 3 days, part of their digital management. So we've always been used to buying our music and renting our movies. So I could see maybe them going into renting movies, but at $10 a movie, that's almost rental prices.
Well, right, and there's also the thought that there's stuff. It depends on the music.
Yeah,
there's music I've been listening to for 30 years, and there's music I listen to two or three times and I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
So being able to rent that stuff, but how do you know ahead of time?
Right.
And every once in a while, I go back to something I listened to 10 years ago and want to hear it again. Now, that may be less true of the standard crap that's being put out today, but it's certainly a possibility.
And I also read two things interesting this week. Playlist Magazine, which is a big trade magazine for the iPod and portable media players. They're doing an article on getting audio into your iPod. And In talks with a copyright attorney, checking an audiobook out of the library, it is illegal to copy it onto your iPod or onto your computer.
Sure.
And that's always been one of the gray areas that, okay, I really checked it out. I'm copying, well, not copying to keep, but copying to listen to the audiobook while you're on the road.
Right.
And libraries have a special license with the industry in what you can do with those media. And so you cannot copy the...
Just because you can doesn't mean you're allowed to. It would be like taking a book out of the library and then photocopying all the pages. Well, I'm not going to keep it. I just prefer to look at big white pieces of paper instead of bound
little
pages in a book. Well, I don't care.
Yeah, the convenience of listening to it in your car if you don't have a CD player or the book's on tape originally is superseded by the license agreement the libraries have.
Right.
And then the other issue this week is that Jack Valenti passed away.
Yes, poor Jack. I did. I recorded that in the morning show.
Motion Picture Industry of America. And so he was, he's always been a big staunch proponent of protecting the copyright and digital rights of the movies.
Right.
So we have to see what happens when the next guy comes in. Maybe they'll relax some of the
That'll happen.
Well, no, to allow more renting.
What is the color of the sky in your world?
To allow more companies to sell movies online legally.
Yeah, but they don't get a piece of that action.
Right.
As such, so they don't care.
Right. The other big problem that that the Playlist Magazine article is talking about is used record and movie stores.
Yep.
The original copyright holder gets no money off of used sales, and so they're trying to outlaw used sales.
Right, right. Because it's all about the money.
Yep.
Yep.
Very annoying.
It is very annoying. All right, we're back to the phones. Our next caller is Mark from Greece, New York. Welcome, Mark. What's your question?
Okay, yes. Hi. I have a trouble burning DVDs. My burner will burn 8x speed, but they won't burn the 16x. I get a message that says unable to create the disk structure.
What speed is your burner rated at?
Yeah.
I have one that's rated at 16x double layer, and I have another one which is external that goes up to 18x.
What's the interface on the external model? USB, FireWire, parallel?
It has both USB and FireWire, and I hooked up the FireWire.
Yeah, FireWire would give you a higher throughput.
But is he getting confused, though, as far as the read rate versus the burn rate?
Well, that's the 16X and 18X are the burn rates on DVDs these days.
Yeah, there's two things.
But some programs won't work.
Right. The program has to be capable of it.
Yeah.
And your computer has to be fast enough to keep the throughput going.
And the media,
the media type has to be compatible with that drive. And
right.
We have found that some drives just don't like some brands of media.
In particular, the less expensive media.
Yeah, the free after
often
rebate.
Often has to be written at a lower speed.
I just ran into that with a funeral home. Had Nick, because I built them a brand new machine, they were saying, well, your DVD burner, you know, it keeps making coasters.
Mm-hmm.
But yet our external one works fine. I go, well, how old's the old one? Well, yeah, we've had it, you know, for a couple of years. I says, well, what you're trying to do is the software wouldn't burn it at the 8X, but it'll handle it 4X.
At 4X,
so
yeah.
All they had to do is slow it down to 4X, and it burned it fine.
And if you're burning a lot of disks, you want it as fast as you can go.
Yeah. Right.
But in this case, the software wouldn't handle it.
Right. There's three things going for you there. There's the speed of the machine.
And how much memory you have.
Which is how much memory you have and the speed of the machine itself and that stuff. How much free space you have in your hard drive, how fast your hard drives are. It's all part of the speed of the machine. And then there's the software itself. What is it capable of doing with that particular drive? And then what about the media that you're using in that drive? So you've got a little work to do, Mark. You've got a little bit. You got three variables you got to play with. Can't much change the speed of your system unless you're running a bunch of junk in the background while you're burning. I have found people who are playing videos while they're burning in the background. Well, that's not mostly going to work unless your machine is really fast. Even people who are, you know, playing games or doing word processing or surfing the web and they cut them with a Java site or whatever.
All it takes is one hiccup
it fails.
Yep.
So a lot of the drives have something called buffer underrun protection where there's like an 8 meg cache, so it tries to overcome that issue, but you're still better off closing all your other programs, letting the burn run. I was with a customer last week that was having trouble burning DVDs and found out he had less than 2 gigs of free space on his hard drive.
Yeah, that would do it.
And you need a 4 gigabyte swap file to build the DVD partition.
But in Mark's case, I think the real problem is probably going to end up being the media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, Mark?
Especially since it works okay on one drive but not another. It's that media doesn't like that drive.
Right, exactly. Our next caller is Eric from Honey Eye Falls. Welcome, Eric. What's your question?
Hi, guys. I have a Sony Vaio laptop 8250 running Windows XP Home. And actually, the problem just started this morning, which is that I turned the computer on, turned the laptop on, runs fine for about 5 minutes, and then I'll go to open something. I'll get the little hourglass, and it's like the computer's frozen, except the hourglass, you know, the cursor moves around. But the application I went to open doesn't open, and I can't do anything else. I can't click on the start button, and it just sits there in this sort of frozen mode, although, as I say, it's not truly frozen because the cursor does move, and nothing happens. And then you finally get to the time. The odd thing is you get to the time period when screensaver kicks in. It goes back to the welcome screen instead of screensaver, and then if you click on the user who was on, it goes back, and the thing that you wanted to open is now open.
So you got multiple users on this laptop.
Yeah, but
yeah, that's the way Windows does do it once it goes to a screensaver.
Right. But the other thing is, I ran security. I mean, I just ran Dance Security Tango yesterday, and nothing came up.
The other thing, though, is how much memory is in this machine?
It's 1 gig.
A gig of memory?
Yeah.
Whoa.
I'm fascinated by this. It goes in a screensaver mode, and when you come back, the app is there.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's... But it sounds like something else is definitely running in
the background.
Yeah, something's got that machine. You know, down the lower right-hand corner, do you see a lot of things loaded there?
I mean, there are a number of... No, I wouldn't say not a lot of things. I mean, my antivirus is there. I got Weatherbug there.
Weatherbug is notorious spyware.
The newer version isn't too bad, though.
Yeah, it isn't too bad. Well,
it's better than the old version. But
yeah, I mean,
but
yeah,
that wouldn't cause this problem. Yeah, you know, just as a side note, I wouldn't run Weatherbug. But I got to be honest with you. I take your machine into somebody.
It sounds, yeah.
Because like there's something that's got to be looked at. I'm sure somebody sitting at the machine and looking at it will be able to fix it. But over the phone, I can't. I mean, we could try a million things, but why waste everybody's time when you can just take it in and get it done?
There's other utilities, but I don't like recommending folks using them because if they
don't know
what they're doing.
Take it to a pro. Let them, you know, take it to Steve. Take it to Dave. Let them take a look at it and get it fixed. It's well worth a few bucks it'll cost.
And some of those weird problems you just have to see.
You have to be sitting in front of the machine. Our next caller is Bob from Rochester, New York. What question?
On your security Tango, you have that link where you can do a free download of adware. I noticed, though, that I don't think it's compatible with Vista yet. Do you have any idea when it will be?
They're working on a beta, not only for Adaware, but also SpyBot. They've got beta 2.0 out in both, Adaware and SpyBot. So you can try those out, and supposedly they will work on Vista.
I have to add a link for product called Avast, which I know works under Vista.
But remember, it's pretty decent. I mean, you know, for beta, it's, you know, not going to... Don't think it'll cause too many problems with the machine.
Sure, wait till beta's over with and they got the, you know, the real deal out, or
yeah. I would.
Well, but in the meantime, for free antivirus, I would suggest Avast at avast.com.
Okay, and it's compatible with Vista?
Yes, absolutely is.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. I need to add that, but I know Avast works under Vista because I'm running it on the Vista machine I have at work.
There you go.
So yeah, that
would work.
That tells me that it probably works pretty good, actually.
You sure?
What I love about this is this thing talks to you. The virus definitions have been updated.
Cool.
It is actually pretty cool, and it does a lot of stuff. It is strictly antivirus, but it also handles your email and it knows several different email programs and it handles all that stuff. So
as long as it doesn't warn you every time it blocks a virus.
No, it doesn't.
It would always be going on.
And you can turn it off, but I like every once in a while hearing, your virus definitions have been updated. I like that.
Speaking of things talking to you, that one commercial, I think
Have you been hearing those voices again?
Yeah.
Jab them with a Q-stick.
No.
Q-tip, they'll stop. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
There's a TV commercial for one of these GPS things.
Oh, yeah.
And the guy's sitting there mapping it, and he's also talking to his wife. And the wife thinks that
who's
there's
that woman?
Some woman.
Yeah, right,
yeah,
right,
the woman
right.
In the car. Get you in trouble.
I so want one of those GPS things. I get lost in my own driveway. All right. Our next caller is Lisa from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Lisa. What's your question? Lisa?
Hi, it's me.
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
I'm fine. I have a question about dual-core CPUs.
Sure.
Like, which one is better, Athlon 64 times 2 or Intel Core 2 Duo?
How do you define better?
Yeah.
Well,
which is the better color, green or blue?
Yes.
Right.
Well, I like blue myself.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Well, Intel's blue and AMD is green, so there you go.
There you go. it is a tough question.
Yeah.
Right now, it seems that in the very high-end bookmarks, and unless you're or benchmarks, unless you're a super high-end game player or a super high-end graphics person, you'll never hit these problems. But it seems that from those super high-end things, right now, Intel has the upper hand.
Hmm.
Now, I have an Intel dual... this is all at work, by the way.
AMDs,
I don't want anybody to think I'm...
Right. The AMDs are a little cheaper.
Right.
So again, how do you define
better?
I
don't want anybody to think I've got a million machines, but I've got a dual-core Intel at work and a dual-core Athlon at work. And I can't tell the difference.
And
the Athlons are a little cheaper.
What you can afford.
Right. So there's your choices. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco. We've got people on the phone. If you're on the phone, hang on. If you're not on the phone, why not? It's 25 minutes after the hour, and you're listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Call Wham now.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And it's 30 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites.
Save a horse, ride a cowboy.
You still haven't found that beer for my men and whiskey for my horses? No, it's the other way around. Whiskey for my men and beer for my horses.
Whatever you want to do, I don't care.
Whichever.
I prefer the beer.
Toby Keith said, word to the wise, never drink with Willie Nelson.
Yeah. Never do anything with him. Never breathe in Willie Nelson's trailer.
Light any matches.
I have to admit, I never got a taste for whiskey. I like beer. I never got a taste for whiskey. Apple is advising all owners of MacBooks and MacBook Pros bought after February 2006 to download a software update that will help fix some battery issues. The update, which is available through software update in the Apple menu or on Apple's website, was released to correct some battery performance problems, such as shorter than usual battery life or problems charging the battery. But if that fix doesn't work, notebook owners should make contact with Apple to have their batteries replaced if they notice any of the following symptoms. Battery is not recognized, causing an X to appear in the battery icon in the Finder menu bar. Battery will not charge when computer is plugged into AC power. Battery exhibits low charge capacity runtime when using a fully charged battery with a battery cycle count of less than 300, which, by the way, you can see in the system profile. Battery pack is visibly deformed or flames are coming out of your Apple computer. Apple says these problems aren't safety issues, except maybe the flames, just performance related, which is a relief for those, the flames thing I made up, a relief for those who remember the massive battery recall of last summer when Apple had to recall 1.8 million batteries as part of a larger recall that affected just about everyone in the PC industry.
Yeah, so, if you want to see some what a battery going up in a laptop can do, check out my website, enrightpc.com.
And those are great pictures.
I've got some actual pictures there of a laptop that literally caught on fire and went up in flames because the person didn't do the battery recall, but yet I was able to get the data off.
Good for you. See, that's what Dave does. At any rate, if you've been doing your software updates religiously as you should be doing, you don't really have a problem because you've already done this update. But if you've been letting that slide, get it done.
One word I wanted to say again to our previous caller, Lisa. Lisa, in checking out what you want to do, buy this one or buy this the other one, I think Steve and I will both agree on this, is what you should do is very confusing to try to sit there and go through all the processors out there and all the different motherboards and yada yada. The best thing to do is actually find somebody that will sit down, either Steve or I offer this, and I'm pretty sure other companies out there do, that you can sit down and talk and say, all right, here's what I want to do. What do I need? Why buy a Cadillac when a mid-sized car is going to do you? And a lot of these other bigger stores sell these packages, and quite often it's overkill. The biggest thing out on the web right now, and people are complaining about, is they buy these prepackaged computers, and they've got all this junk on them. They're literally throwing all this junk, games and all this other stuff.
Useless demos.
Yeah. Or I had one client get upset because, again, they got into that Word 60-day thing. And all of a sudden, Word stopped working. Well, yeah, the 60 days is up.
And every time you launch it says this computer, is a demo.
And it right, and it tells you how many days you got left.
Well, they say, but it came with the computer. It should work for 60 days.
Did you ever see those Macintosh, those irritatingly smug Macintosh commercials where, what's his name, the PC guy out and
John
he's all Hodgman. Fat?
Yeah, bloated. Yep. Yeah,
because of all the bloatware that comes with it. That's what they mean. It's software that's only good for 30 days or 60 days or 90
you gotta
days.
Or you got to pay for it.
And at the end of that time, if you haven't paid for it, it stops working.
Yep.
That's another nice thing about my Linux box. 20,000 programs, all free.
What's
all the real thing,
and what's
never stop working
is a lot of those programs run on the Mac too, because it's Unix based.
Because it's a Unix based system, exactly right. you may need a different compile, but they're available.
Yep. Speaking of that, we should I don't know, it's not really mourn the passing, but longtime favorite Eudora is ceasing to exist tomorrow.
I know.
They're going to stop selling the commercial version. Qualcomm has decided they don't want to be in the email business.
Right.
So they are turning Eudora over to the open source community.
So hopefully some of the nifty little features in Eudora that don't exist anywhere else will make it into Thunderbird.
Or someone will start updating Eudora more more frequently, yeah.
Right.
So the commercial version stops being sold tomorrow. You can still download the sponsored version, which puts a little ad in the corner.
Right.
But 20 years Eudora's been around?
I was a beta tester, and I loved it. I used it religiously. It was a great product. Great product. Ah, well. Eudora, we hardly knew you. Our next caller is Alan on a cell phone. Welcome, Alan. What's your question?
Speaking of expirations and warranties, my wife's computer, a year and 2 weeks after its purchase, won't turn on any longer. And the error codes are telling me that it's a memory problem. And I just wonder how memory fails after it's been working fine and all of a sudden it just won't turn on.
Things fail.
Yeah.
Things work fine until they don't.
It's an electronic unit.
Yeah.
With components in it that are made in, you know, you hope you get the best of all parts, but sometimes...
The problem is it works like any other device. They make 100 billion of them, and...
The mean
some are,
time between
right,
failure.
Right, some are going to last for 20 years, some are going to last for 20 seconds, and you got one in the middle.
They're suggesting I just pull them out and put them back in again and see if it doesn't work.
Well, sometimes that
can't
work.
Hurt.
Well, because the heating and cooling cycles over time can work the chips out of their socket.
Well, these and are if you just have soldered on, and I've seen it where...
Well, it depends on which memory it is. Yeah. If it's the main system memory,
but if
then
it,
you can
this
pull
is
it out.
On a laptop, this is a laptop?
No, it's a PC.
Yeah, it's a desktop.
All right, well, then on the PC, again, what you could do is if you've got more than one stick in there, take one out, leave one in, see if you still get the problem. Because when it gives you the generic error message, if you've got more than one stick, one of the two sticks could be bad on you, causing the error. So take one out, see if it runs. Okay, if it doesn't, then swap them.
And give it a try.
Yeah, but it sometimes can be that the heating and cooling has lifted the chip out of the socket, and you can start getting spurious errors.
I've seen with the newer chips, because they're all surface-mounted,
yeah,
it got so hot, the chips literally slid off the board, the little stick,
nice,
and was laying there.
It's
how
melting.
This person did it?
Well, and see, and that goes back to the computers are running smaller and faster and hotter, and they're getting cheaper, which means lower quality components.
Well, this was a desktop unit, and I heard some rattling. So I set it on the bench, I take the cover off, and there's the little chips laying where the memory stick is, and nothing on the memory stick.
Come on, that's funny.
Yeah, it was, but not to the client, because...
Right, and that's why so many people are now putting in large, slow, quiet fans.
Yes, super quiet.
Because they run, but they're not annoyingly loud, and yet they move a lot more air. That's why you now see a lot of cases with extra big... maybe they've got two fans, one on the side, one on the top, whatever that's about, and they move more air, but they move it slower,
see,
so it's
Alan, that's
quieter.
One thing I would suggest, and, you know, also, is you might want to take it outside, or if you got a vacuum cleaner, turn it off and vacuum it out, too. The amount of dust.
Well, spring cleaning now. You know, add your computer to your spring cleaning routine.
Well, yeah. You know, that's one thing I'm almost thinking of offering to folks, if they want to bring their computer down, that, you know, for $5 or that... Quick, blow the machine out, because I've got a compressor outside. It's got an inline filter, so moisture in that doesn't get at it, that I can blow out the computers. I had two of them this week that were so packed with dust and dirt, and this house was so dry, it made even the plastic inside the computer very brittle.
Yeah. I have dogs and cats. And I'm pulling stuff out of my computer pretty regularly.
I can, you know, sit there, you know... Something I've been toying around with, you know, if you want to stop down for $5, I'll quick pull the cover off.
This is the second time you've said that, so you better disclaim it or make sure that's the price.
Yeah, no, I'll do it.
Yeah, right.
No, it's something I would do. I mean, because it is springtime. The computers have been in the house. You know, the houses have been closed up. And like we've said before, computers are like a big vacuum cleaner. They suck in a lot of dirt and dust and everything else. And if you got animals, cats, yep. and everything else, it can suck it all in, and it packs that fan up, and that can cause overheating.
Elaine's been talking about putting like mosquito netting around her computer.
But then that
remember it used to go in the floppy drive.
Then that reduces the amount of air being flowed through it, and that can cause heat.
Yeah, heat is the danger and, yep, and the killer for electronic components.
Right, and it is coming up on summer, so make sure your computer's not in the sunlight all day long. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you at 40 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Never play this music again. Steve
it's
automatically
a darn shame
starts.
The cam's not on.
Steve automatically starts undressing. I think it's some reflex. He didn't even hesitate. He was undressing.
He was almost up on top of the table.
For God's sake, I'm begging you, don't play this anymore. Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
At 45 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbite.
And there's these great shows in the alley behind the building here.
Oh, you can't make this stuff up around this place.
McAfee has gotten into trouble with the Securities and Exchange Commission over securities fraud. It may have to cough up $50 million in fines. And it's certainly experiencing rumbling and tumbling in its top ranks. Still, it's raking in the bucks. The security company on April 26th reported its ninth consecutive record-breaking quarter with preliminary first quarter revenues of $314 million. The results are preliminary because McAfee needs to restate historical financial statements in order to record additional non-cash charges associated with past stock option grants. And McAfee said it believes the statement will result in aggregate non-cash charges between $100 million and $150 million, which when you have $314 million, isn't that painful. And they expect to restate other adjustments. So they've got some people in trouble there, just like they have them at Apple and at a couple of other places. On the other hand, they're ludicrously cash rich at this point. $315 million every 4 months is not every 3 months is not a bad piece of change. I'd take it, frankly. I'd take it all day, every day. So they've got some problems, but it doesn't look like they're going away anytime soon.
Back to that stock option scandal, too.
There it is.
Everyone's getting caught by it.
Everybody. Mm-hmm. Our next caller is Mark from Irondequoit, New York. Welcome, Mark. What's your question?
Well, I've been enjoying Linux.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Which version?
6.06.
Oh, sure. LTS, long-term support.
Yeah, and I find it a little perplexing. It's
sure.
I don't know, hard to... Like if I want to view a video online, you know, I have to, you know, download like a real-time player.
Right. And one of the things about Linux is that this particular version does not have some of the players built in. And the reason is that they're not really free software. And so consequently, you can install them. You just have to do it separately. Now, I will let you in on a little secret.
Oh, boy.
You'll love this secret.
Don't tell anybody.
Okay.
There is there are two other versions of Linux. Christmas Linux and Ultimate Ubuntu. Christmas Ubuntu and Ultimate Ubuntu. I'm trying to quickly find the website for that. Oh. UbuntuSoftware.info/ultimate. UbuntuSoftware.info/ultimate. And what these folks have done, they've taken Ubuntu and added in everything it might conceivably be missing. It makes for a gigantic download and a longer install, but trust me when I tell you there's nothing you're missing.
Do I have to burn that to a disk?
Yes, you do.
Okay, can I burn it with the old Ubuntu?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'd like to add, I like the astronomy program.
Oh, isn't that
and
great?
The education.
Yeah, yeah, that's nice.
That's a wonderful, wonderful system.
Yeah, but Ultimate Ubuntu adds all the codecs that you're missing, for all the support for things like MP3s and Java and this and the other thing and everything else. And it adds Gramps, which is a genealogy program, which is a terrific product. It adds Beagle, which is the search your whole hard drive in the background program. There's
and the weird thing is
a
that
version of BASIC. There's everything in it.
Even on Windows and the Mac, you have to load all those players too. But they usually come preloaded. But
right.
Since you're loading Ubuntu yourself, you have to load them yourself.
Right, exactly. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Lint, and me, Nick Francesco, and you at 49 minutes after the hour at Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Roll photo.
Back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
At 53 minutes after the hour at Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Well, good news for all of you who are Wii-less. The Nintendo said Friday that it would address shortages of its hit Wii video game console by ramping up productions. About stinking time. The video game giant's president, Satoru Iwata, acknowledged that we have not been able to properly foresee demand. You think? The company said it would boost sales of the Wii, which has dominated the next generation console battle against Microsoft's Xbox 360 and Sony's PlayStation 3 since it was released in November, so that deliveries would increase by next month. The news came a day after Nintendo released fiscal 2007 results showing that revenue had jumped 89.8% and profits 77% on the strength of the success of the Wii, and also because of its impressive sales of the Nintendo DS handheld device. So while they have been, some might say, artificially throttling the availability of the Wii, it looks like they're going to ramp up production. Our next
We've been getting Wiis in one or two a month.
Yeah.
And we've been finding that if we order one or two, they come in. If we tried to order 20, they wouldn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Our next caller is Josh from Greece, New York. Welcome, Josh. What's your question?
Hi, I was wondering if I should buy a DVI cable for my monitor or not. I heard about them, but can you give me some information on them?
Depends if your monitor is DVI capable.
Yeah,
yeah, it is.
DVI is the digital video interface, and you'll get a much better quality signal than with the VGA analog cable.
And does your video card also have DVI on it?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, then you'll get a better video signal and better quality video.
Now, those cables aren't cheap, but in general, they should be worth the difference.
Yes, they're
worth it. If you've got a decent monitor, and it should be decent if it's got DVI.
The only reason I wouldn't do it is if it either end. And it's usually at the motherboard end where you're hooking it up to the video card. If you had to use a converter, then there's no sense.
There's no point.
Right. Yeah. Well, what's interesting is a lot of the new video cards, there's the DVI-I interface that has analog and digital.
Right.
So it'll come with a DVI connector and an analog adapter so you can plug a VGA monitor into it.
Okay.
Which is kind of interesting. And what's also interesting is that all of Apple's monitors are pure digital. That's DVI only. And there have been a lot of comparisons. Ars Technica did a real long comparison between a Dell 20-inch monitor and the Apple 20-inch monitor using the exact same LCD panel, but Dell's is analog or digital, and Apple's is digital only. The Apple scored better on every qualification. Something about adding the analog circuitry to the panel
waters down the signal.
Waters it down versus the pure digital, even using the DVI connector on the Dell.
And I believe we should point out that if you have a DVI connector on your video card, you are perfectly capable of buying a Macintosh monitor to connect to your PC.
And you get really high-quality digital monitors. They're more expensive, but
they're higher quality.
They're higher quality, for.
Well, and you look at the high-end Sony brands of digital DVI-only monitors, and they're the same price as the Apple. Their 20-inch monitor is now $599,
right?
Which is expensive for a 20-inch monitor, but not for a pure digital, high-quality, high-contrast monitor.
Right, right. So you get what you pay for, and you pay for what you get.
Okay.
So there you go. Josh, I think that you'll find it much nicer with DVI only. What I like about it is that the image, I have bad eyes. The rest of me is good, but my eyes are getting old. And I got to tell you that the pure DVI monitor that I have is rock solid, very steady. I can watch it for hours without getting eye strain, as opposed to the old style analog flat panels or, heaven forbid, a CRT. 10 minutes, and my eyes start to water, and they start to cross, and I start to blur, things get blurry. But with the DVI cable, and luckily because I spend all freaking day in front of my computer, having the DVI monitor and cables and everything else means that I can stare at that thing all day long, and it's rock solid. And you know what? We spend a lot of time buying a system and not so much time on the two things that are most going to save us, the monitor for our site.
And the chair.
And the chair, right, exactly. And the keyboard, actually. So those are the things we tend to shortchange. And so we sit there all day, and we get up and we say, oh, man, I've been sitting at the computer too long. I feel like I don't know what to do. Well, get a better chair. Get a better monitor. You'll feel better about it. And I feel better about the fact that we're done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright, who was kind enough to let us make fun of him as Uncle Dave.
Oh,
no. Or perhaps he didn't notice, I'm not sure. And Steve Ray, who was kind enough to let us make fun of April several times today. And Rob Linton, who probably has no idea that we made fun of him at all. Rob Linton! Mina Francesco and all of you. We'll see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. It's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Thanks for listening.
Here come the Yankees. Let's get the-